Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, it is me, Bob Mitchell, in for Scoot in the afternoon. Did y'all watch the Oscars last night? You see Spike Lee? He got all upset because his movie didn't win. And being the absolute poor loser he is, he tried to run out of the auditorium. And then they told him, no, you need to go back and sit down. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that. He was screaming and yelling that he should have won. All right, let's get back to our callers. We're going to go to Buck. Hi, Buck. Not Buck. I'm sorry. To Craig. Craig on the causeway. Craig, how are you today?
How you doing, Bob?
I'm hanging in there.
I want to tell you a real quick story. When I was in second grade, like probably 1963, I was at a Catholic school in St. Anthony. I'm not going to say the name of it. But it was the first year that we had a black girl come to school. And she was in my class. And I don't know if you remember school back then, but the boys were on one side of the class, the girls were on one other side of the class, and mm-hmm. You had a little tiny row in between everybody. Well, I was sat next to her, and because of the other kids and you know, what they say and all that, I got home and started crying and told my mother, hey, you know, they sat me next to this little black girl. And she brought me in the backyard and stuck my hand in a can of paint. And she says, are you still the same? And I said, what do you mean? And she says, are you still the same? Are you still who you are? And I said, well, yeah, but I'm blue. And she says, they, and I say they, that's just the way they talk back then, is they are the same. They are humans. And when, during the year, they started, the parents of these other kids started protesting because we had a black kid in our class. And my mother went out there, and I've never heard her curse before. She cursed them out, saying, these are human beings. What is wrong with y'all? And it was a Catholic school, so she really got into it. Well, within 2 years, now my mother had 10 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of 10. Yeah. And when I was in second grade, maybe my sister was the last one that was in Catholic school because she took us all out and brought us and put us in public school. Because they had such outrage over that.
What year was this, Craig? Do you remember?
I was born in 55, so whatever second grade would be, probably 63 maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, mm-hmm. Whatever. But, yeah, and you know, I went to public school ever since, you know, and graduated from Kennedy.
Well, my mom, I don't know, she might have changed the last couple of years, but through all my childhood and even, let's say, probably till I was at least 30 years old, she never changed. In fact, my friends in the business threw me a surprise party. I think it was my 30th birthday, something like that. Threw me a surprise party, and my mom came, and she looks at me and she says, great party, son, but how'd all these black people get in?
Oh,
I said, Mom,
yeah.
those are my friends. I've worked with these people. Well, they shouldn't be at this party. And so she was, she was a hardcore racist to a degree. But I thank God that I didn't go down that road. I thank God that as a young man, I realized that is not the way to do it.
Well, and I was taught young, and as far as all the other people talking about the racist problems in New Orleans, it's not a racist problem. It's how they were taught, how they were grown. And a lot of the problems is that the parents don't teach them or the parents ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time these kids are 13, 14 years old, they've been hanging out with the wrong kids, wrong people, and I hate to say wrong neighborhood probably, but they think, oh, this is an easy buck. This is, you know, why should I have to go to work? And it's not a race thing because white kids do it too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think one of the problems that we have in our society is that there's too much free stuff, and I'm not pointing out. You know, I have acquaintances. I'll put it that way, so I don't zero in on anyone. Right. They're white, and yet they will do anything they need to do to get something for free.
Right.
And I believe if you can work your butt off, you should not get anything free. That's just
and
me.
As far as the John Wayne thing, I have heard that interview before,
mm-hmm.
and I like John Wayne movies more, but he had a couple of bad ones. But the only one I will watch now is The Shooters, and that was his last one.
Well, you know, I found myself. I just read about this. What's today? Monday. I read about it. I want to say Saturday. Either Friday or Saturday when I was trying to put some things together to talk about today. And just by coincidence, that same night I was going through looking for movies, and one of my favorite John Wayne movies is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. And I saw that, and I just looked at him differently. You know, I used to look at him as this big, rugged American, and although he still is an American, I just thought about him differently. I said, oh, man, how could someone, because let me tell you, 1971, that was still an awful statement to make.
Right. Oh, yeah, I agree.
Craig, thank you for phoning in. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, let's go to LaFreak. LaFreak, how are you?
Hey, good story. Yeah, good show. Hold on, is it true? Is Scoop dead? Did he get killed in a car?
No. He got in an accident. A motorcycle ran into him. It was a hit, run, and leave. And he's in the hospital, I believe, or he's waiting. He's awaiting surgery. If I understand it correctly, he's awaiting surgery on his ankle. So he's fine. He worked Thursday and Friday.
Oh, okay. I don't want him to be injured or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The thing I was calling about was I don't think they should have that airport named after him because, Lee Circle, Lee's got nothing to do with New Orleans anyway, right? I mean, Lee's not, he wouldn't, he wouldn't.
Wait,
he
we're talking about,
to do with
we're
it.
Talking about John Wayne, not Lee. What are you trying to say?
Every community gets a chance to, has a right to. Mm-hmm. Name their stuff after who are they? And
right.
New Orleans is a majority black city. They've got no reason to like General Lee. He was a traitor to the United States, and he lost the war. And New Orleans didn't really have anything to do with the Civil War anyway. We surrendered without a shot.
All right, Lee. Thank you so much. We will take a break and come back with your phone calls on WWL. All right, we will get back to the show. Maybe one day we should just play music. Remember, it used to be, what, more music and less talk? Maybe. All right, I want to read a quick text message about this John Wayne interview where John Wayne said that he was a white supremacist. And he said about the Native Americans, they were just greedy. We did nothing wrong in taking their land. Now, he did say a lot more in the interview. In fact, I have a text message here that says, Bob, read the entire article and make your own judgment. Well, I did read the entire article. And if I had to vote, I would vote to rename the airport. But I don't feel comfortable on the air reading some of the stuff that he said. I just don't. And if you want to know exactly what he said and how repugnant might be the word that I don't use very often, read it for yourself. I just don't feel comfortable having to quote him on these things, okay? All right, let's go to Buck. Buck, thank you so much for calling WWL.
Hey, how's Scoots? He okay?
Scoots doing okay. He's last I heard, he was waiting for surgery to repair his ankle, and as soon as that's done, he will be right back here. I'm just keeping the chair warm for him right now.
Roger, right on. Sounds good. Anyway, back to the John Wayne thing, man.
Sure.
I'm just trying to figure out in my little pea brain here why anybody cares what a dead man said 30 something years ago. Come on, man. Y'all people need to get a life.
Well, I think the reason is because they have an airport in California named after
it. Who cares?
You don't care.
They name it after no.
Okay.
If they name it after Howdy Doody. That Howdy Doody LAX airport.
Uh-huh.
Who would give a crap?
Yeah.
Does a plane land different? Does it land sideways because it's called John Wayne? Does more people die? Less people die?
No, I think it's because it was an honor. The airport honored John Wayne by doing this.
Why did they honor John Wayne? Instead of crying about something he said in an interview,
mm-hmm.
How about if you focus on what you named the airport to start with? That's where you that. And if you want to change your name, man, who cares?
Okay. So you don't care either way then, huh, Buck?
No, I don't care either way, man. And as far as all this black-white stuff, man, come on, man. We know what the problem is. We're different. We're never going to be the same. Where our cultures are different, the way we think we're different, the reasoning's different, equal but separate. What's wrong with that?
Well,
you
Buck,
got your stuff, I got my stuff. Stay over there, I'll stay over
nah,
here.
I hope one day we'll be equal and we'll be together. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Janice, thank you for calling WWL.
Yeah, how you doing, Bob?
I'm hanging in there.
That's good. Now, I just want to tell you what happened to me years ago. When I was in grammar school, I think they only had two black girls in the school, and one was in my class. So at lunchtime, of course, you know, the boys sat together, you know, at tables, and the girls, they were tables of four. Well, it just so happened I was odd girl out, and then you know, it was like four, 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 and then, you know, space for me. So that's okay. Then there was this girl that was in our class. She was a black girl. Okay. So I was sitting with her at lunchtime. And I had absolutely nothing against her. I didn't care what color she was. We'd sit there. We'd eat. We'd talk. You know, she was an okay girl. She mm-hmm. wasn't any different to me than any of the other kids. But then one day, now, of course, it wasn't all of them. But there was a few no good, rotten kids who were calling me M-lover. And I stood up to them. I mean, hey, I know who I am. I stood up to them. But I felt bad for her, though. I didn't feel bad for me, but I felt bad for her because she knew what they were doing. It just was ugly, Bob. It mm-hmm. truly was. And it was totally uncalled for. It really was. I was never raised like that. Now, I had a lady live next door, owned the house next door when we first moved here years ago. We were talking one day, and she never watched Good Times or Sanford and Son or Jeffersons or anything like that. I told her, I said, you mean to tell me you don't watch any of those good shows? I said, they're funny, and
absolutely.
They're really good. She didn't watch them.
Janice,
Let
me ask you a question. Would if it was available, would you still watch a Cosby Show?
Cosby, no. And it's got nothing to do with his color. It has to do with the fact that he's scuzz. You don't give pills to women and molest them, rape them. No. It's not the color of the man. I used to watch the Cosby Show. I used to watch it all the time and love it. But now that I know what he did,
mm-hmm.
I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's purple. I have no use for him for what he did.
Well, I judge him by the talent he had to make the show. So I would still watch the show.
Good, but no, I can't stand to look at him anymore. I look at him and it just turns my stomach thinking of what he did to people.
All right, Janice, thank you so much. We're going to move to Chuck in Metairie. Chuck, thank you for calling WWL.
Hey, thank you very much.
What's on your mind, Chuck?
Well, I got a couple issues. My mom, she has been gone, I don't know, I guess about 6 years now, 7 years. And the last bunch of years, she was in the hospital. She had diabetes and heart problems, fell and broke her hip and all kind of stuff. But the last 15 years of her life that I was really close around, she did more than she did 40 years prior. The only problem we had that really kept coming up was race.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born in rural Mississippi and spent time in in rural Louisiana, Lake Providence, if you know where that side is, rural. But, you know, she had a lot of things happen to her with her. But as time go on, we spent a lot of time in the hospital. And one day I was in the emergency room or something like that. And she said, look, that colored girl over there. And I looked her straight in the face. I said, what color? Which one? She said, the colored one. She called me Charles. The colored one, Charles. I said, well, which one, Mom? They're all colored. Which one? And finally, I broke her of that habit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And look, she was fine with it, but it took a while because, you know, my friends and people I work with and do things with, they're of all races. I mean, just, you know, you need to be colorblind. On the flip side of this, when we're talking about race and not to mimic any of Buck's comments, because I'm not agreeing with all that, but I do find there's a lot of reverse discrimination, and that I feel like I'm paying the price for my great grandparents.
I think, and to a degree, I've experienced some of the same thing. I tell you what I hope. I hope I live to see the day that we do not call each other Native American, Black American, Mexican American, mm-hmm. that we're all just Americans, and don't specify race. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, if anybody was overseas in a prison camp or being tortured or held, it wouldn't matter one iota of what color, religion, or anything. If they're American, I'd be ticked off. It's, you know, we are Americans.
That's it.
And,
Chuck,
and that's what we need to keep in focus.
I'm with you on that. Chuck, you so much for calling in. All right, we are going to take a break. Virginia, I will be back with you in a second. Our phone number is 260-1870. I also want to get a couple of calls on what happened this past weekend, the shootings in the French Quarter. Do you have any thoughts at all, any ideas at all how we could make the French Quarter and Bourbon Street safer? All right, we are going to take a news break right now. We're going to break for CBS News, and then we will be right back with more WWL Live and Local News. And welcome back as we head to 4 o'clock and Sports Talk, talking about what happened this weekend in the French Quarter. One dead, three shot, and we are asking you, what would you do to make things better in the French Quarter? What would you do to make things safer? And do you have any problems of hanging around on the French Quarter? You can call me at 260-1870. I thought this was really, really interesting. Our Blue Runner opinion poll question was, do you feel safe in the French Quarter and on Bourbon Street? And the results, I did not expect this. 85% say no. 16% say yes. 85% say no. So what would you do to make it any better? Let's we need to go to Virginia, because Virginia's been hanging for a while in Hammond. Virginia, what would you do to make the French Quarter safer? And do you feel uncomfortable when you go to the French Quarter, if you even go?
I quit going and kind of feel uncomfortable.
You feel
but
too?
What I called in about was the John Wayne situation.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, when he was making all of his movies, everybody was under studio contract. They were not like the movie stars are today. They were told what to say, where to go, everything. And he was not the only one that felt that way. The other one just had enough sense to keep their opinions to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I will continue watching his movies because it's not going to change anything. He's passed.
What about changing the name of the airport?
I just leave it like it is, because, I mean, it is what it is. And when I moved here from California in 62, and it was like I was in a time warp. I was back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember walking around literally with my mouth hanging open. They had separate drink and sound separate, but I was never raised that way. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, I don't understand. I said, you know, I can't eat at a restaurant with my Black friend, but they can cook the food in the restaurant. I can't go to their homes, but they go to the white homes and watch their children. It made no sense to me whatsoever. And I had always went to school and had friends of Filipino, Japanese, Chinese, Black, and it was like a rainbow. You know, I mean, and none of us looked at each other as having different colored skin.
Well, I will continue
to raise my daughter.
I will continue to watch his movies, but I would have no problem if they decide to change the name of the airport. Virginia, thank you for phoning in. Let's go to Bobby. Bobby, thank you for calling WWL.
Hey, Mitch. Mr. Mitchell, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Bobby. What's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about the French Quarter.
Sure. What would you do to make the French Quarter safer?
You know, I really don't have an answer for that, but I don't go down there. The last time I was down there was I went by myself to the House of Blues, met some friends, and listened to some music, mm-hmm. a band. And, you know, just like what happened early Sunday morning with this nurse, you know, you're at the wrong place at the wrong time with this thug who had a rap sheet behind him. Now, I blame the judges on Tulane and Broad. That's the crime scene right there for letting these people out. You know, I used to be a revolving door. Now it's a drive-thru for these repeat offenders. And she's gone. She is gone. I mean, there's too many. You know, Mr. Mitchell, I hate to sound negative, but just about a lot of times you read about these criminals that are out there perpetrating these crimes against innocent people. A lot of them have rap sheets behind them. They have other charges behind them. What are they doing on the street? She's gone. She's not coming back. You know? It's sad.
Bobby,
I don't go down there. And the French Quarter is the heartbeat of the city.
It is. Would you be afraid to watch a parade on Canal Street?
You know, to be honest with you, I would. Yes, sir. It's not worth it. If I have a couple beers, I'm going to stay home and watch a ball game or watch sports. That's all I do. I don't even watch movies. I mean, it's, you know, that's just, you know, I moved here in 78. Things were a lot different back then as far as being safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't have policemen if someone's going to shoot, just like this guy hustled with the security officer going for his gun, I mean, how are you going to defend that?
Yeah. I think that's a very good point. You can't defend against that. Even if you had a no-gun zone, you couldn't defend against that. As far as me and parades, I'd go to a daytime parade on Canal Street, but I would think a couple of times before I went to a nighttime parade. All right, we'll get right back to your phone calls. We're going to take a break. Bob Mitchell in for Scoot in the Afternoon on WWL. WWL is your Mardi Gras information station. We have everything you need to know at WWL.com. Get the latest carnival news, interviews, and weather forecasts. Find out the celebrity headliners for each parade. Get Arthur Hardy's parade previews, parade dates, routes, and details about every carnival crew, plus parade rules and safety tips. All right, let's get back to our phones. We're going to go to Bill. Bill, thank you for calling WWL.
Hey, Bob, I'm 58 years old, and I remember when I was in school, I ended up getting in a fight with a black guy. His name was Marcus, and after our fight, we became best of friends. And I said, Dad, can Marcus come over to eat? And he said, no, son, no. He said, son, we don't invite them people. That's when I realized my dad was racist.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't invite them people. I said, well, Dad, I said, most restaurants have black cooks, and it's the best food you've ever eaten. And, of course, after a good whipping, you know, now I have a sister that's married to an Indian. I have a sister married to an Asian. I have a niece that's married to a black. We get together. We're just people.
Bill, do you think they should rename, since they rediscovered this interview about John Wayne, should they rename John Wayne Airport in California?
I didn't read the entire deal like you did, but mm-hmm. if that's gonna help, why not? I mean, it's just a name.
Well, do yourself a favor and read it. I mean, there are things that he's quoted in the interview that I don't think I can read on the air. I don't feel comfortable reading some of the stuff. And it makes me, I've got to be totally honest, it makes me look at him different. Bill, I appreciate you phoning in. Let's go to Vincent in Mandeville. Vincent, thank you for calling WWL.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. What about you?
pretty good. I disagree. I don't think we need to change the name. I mean, I don't see any reason for it. I don't personally think they did it to honor him. I sure don't honor anybody. I mean, mm-hmm. If he came to Mandeville, years ago, I wouldn't go out of my way to go see him. I just don't see. I don't honor, movie stars. I think they just named it that because he was a good actor.
Do you like his movies?
Yeah, I like cowboy movies. I've watched several of them, but like I said, I wouldn't walk across the street to get an autograph. I just don't care about that kind of stuff. I like movies. I like cowboy. Like you said about Bill Cosby. You knew what happened with him, but
sure.
You still would watch his movies,
well,
right?
Yeah, I will still watch John Wayne movies, but it would not bother me. I would not fight against it if they decide to change the name on the airport. I appreciate you calling, Vincent. Can I go to Joe in the French Quarter? Joe, since you work in the French Quarter, what do you think needs to be done to make the French Quarter safer for people?
That's a good question. More police would... We made a good things happen there, a spur of the moment type deals,
Mm-hmm.
I worked 3 days. I'm in my 70s. I work 11 at night to 7 in the morning, 3 days a week over there. So I wear a vest there to go whatnot. So I get back over there, I take it off and I put it back on when I leave. And I feel more comfortable with that.
So you have no suggestions on what could make, since you worked on there, things that you see could make it safer?
Well, I think the door people there can kind of look at the people coming in there and kind of figure out which ones, might be causing trouble, whatever. But mm-hmm. as far as the street, I walk fast and straight, looking down to get where I want. I don't wear no watch on me, no cigarettes in my pocket, nothing. So the kids stop and ask me, I just keep walking. That's all. Pass everybody up.
I got you, Joe. I appreciate you calling. Now, Vincent, you say that you have an idea of what might make the French Quarter safer. What is that idea?
Yeah, well, I travel a lot, and I went to Old San Juan, Puerto Rico, and they have Old San Juan is very much like the French Quarter. So what they do is the policemen are stationed. Individual policemen are stationed on every corner. So when a policeman is standing on a corner, he can actually see in every direction another policeman.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stand like in New Orleans. If you go in the quarter, you have 3, 4, 5 policemen, and they're all standing together. Now, I'm not saying they're not doing their job, but they're all standing together.
But just off the top of my head, you probably would be looking at having, maybe about 100 police officers? It would take to cover all of that?
All right, but let's look at it another way. It doesn't have to be that many, but the point is that the French Quarter is the focal point of mm-hmm. New Orleans. And if you don't have, if you're not taking care of that, you're actually committing suicide for the city. It's just like when that gentleman used to clean the city, and the French Quarter at one time looked so nice, and they were pressure washing it,
right.
And then the old mayor said, the genius that he was, well, we can't afford that. Well, we can't afford not to have that.
Well, Vincent, what you say really makes sense. Again, I don't know how many police officers it would take, but it might be one of these expenses that we can't not afford to do.
Exactly. And the point is that if you're getting to the, if it worked, all of these people that have to have all of these special security guards and everything,
mm-hmm.
which are really, in a lot of cases, not trained, they could spend a little more money to have more police that just do the French Quarter as their assignment, and it's going to make it a lot easier on the tourists when they're coming through and they're seeing, I'll give you a perfect example. When I was in Old San Juan, I was walking with my wife, and we were just strolling through the whole area, and it was absolutely wonderful because you always felt that there was a policeman right there. We went to cross the street, and the policeman said, "Senor, where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. We just crossed the street." He said, "Senor, I think it would be better if you went the other way." And I said, "Thank you very much," and we turned around and went the other way.
All right, Vincent, thank you for those thoughts. Pretty darn good suggestion, in my opinion. We will take a break, and we'll come right back on WWL. And before I run out of time, I want to thank Ian Hoke for taking care of the control board, playing all that great music. Makes me want to come back tomorrow. I want to thank Diane Newman for always getting me off the couch and letting me come to work. And Scoot, we're thinking about you and we're praying about you. Get back soon. Let's go to Laurie. Laurie, thank you for calling WWL. Now, you said, what do you think needs to be need to help the French Quarter protect the public?
Well, I've heard off and on today different ideas. I thought the police officer idea was a really good idea, divide and conquer. I bring tours over to New Orleans. I live in Biloxi, and we bring tours over from the casino. The past 3 years that I've brought people, we've been doing this for 10 years. The past 3 years, I don't have anybody get back in the vans who their reply is, they came, they will not be back.
Do any of them ask you about, is the French Quarter safe? Is Bourbon Street safe to go to?
We give them a whole speech before we bring them over in the morning, and it entails of walking in numbers, seeing with groups, keeping $1 bills separate in case they want to tip the street entertainers,
mm-hmm.
but keep their other money in a different pocket. So they're not showing where they got money for the panhandlers, just walk past them. They're different than the street vendors who are performing. And if anybody asks you where you got your they can tell you where they got your shoes at. Don't even fall for it.
Right,
and we give them the whole still. And we've never had anything happen to anybody because we're very cautious with the people we bring over. But on the tourism side, I hate to see it because I love New Orleans. And I hate to see this happening, but your tourism is every time someone comes here, not only are they not returning, they're telling other people to not return.
No,
you don't realize how bad it is, but it is.
I don't know if it's possible financially from the New Orleans Police Department, but the idea of having one cop on each block and you can look down the block and they can see each other, again, to me,
yeah.
That sounds like an incredible idea. Whether it actually work out, I don't know, but it sounds pretty good to me.
Right. You know, something has to be done. This New Orleans, I mean, it's bad.
But people come here,
they don't want to come back.
But see what happened over the weekend. Even if you had metal detectors or a no gun zone, this bad guy took the gun away from a guard and used his gun. So you can't stop things like that from happening.
True. That's a true point there. I think that, though, if you clean up the area, get rid of some of the people sleeping on the mm-hmm. walkways, you know, present what you expect.
Right. Laurie, I appreciate you phoning in. Sports Talk is next with Christian Garrick and Bobby Hebert right here on WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.